On this brilliant tidbit, I look at the Blue Man of the Ozarks, a giant hair-covered man who periodically terrorized folks in the Missouri Ozarks for 50 years between 1965 and 1915, so stick around.
I'm Alan Brill. Welcome to Brilliant, a podcast from the mind of Brill. Warning, it gets dark in here.
According to an article in the Washington Times, July 9, 1915, the headline reads, Blue Man Returns to His Ozark Haunts. In 1865, Blue Sol Collins, who the paper describes as a noted Ozark rifleman and trapper, came across some strange tracks in the snow along Spring Creek. The tracks resembled those of a bear, but this bear, quote, must surely have been the largest bear in all Missouri, end quote. The tracks were longer and broader than any bear tracks this notable hunter had ever seen, and according to the paper, quote, along the tracks were queer markings seemingly made by great claws, end quote. The paper goes on to say, quote, Collins was fearless and followed the footprints, determined to slap the greatest bear in the history of the region, end quote. For hours he tracked the beast, and as he was making his way up the side of Twin Mountain, he heard a noise above him and barely had time to leap aside as a huge boulder flew past him and into the valley below. It was swiftly followed by another boulder. When he finally had time to get out of cover and look, he tried to determine the cause of this avalanche. What he saw there made this fearless man's blood run cold. Atop the hill stood a giant, quote, an enormous man, stark naked except for a breechcloth and a shoulder piece of some animal's skin. The huge body was covered with long hair, almost black in collar, and thick of that as any wild animal. On this man's feet were crude moccasins of deerskin tied along with thongs of leather. The ends of these thongs had made the claw-like marks in the snow. The terrifying man was armed with a club 6 or 8 feet long. This he had laid aside in order that he might more readily tear the boulders from the frozen soil. Collins was no coward, but he never denied that one look at this fearsome figure on the hill, he turned and fled. At that point in time, the Ozarks was a very thinly settled region with just a handful of families scattered out and living among the hills. And they came up missing livestock, calves, sheep, hogs mainly. And after long searches, they would find the hides and the, quote, pick clean bones in remote crannies among the hills. Some of them, too, saw the fearsome figure slipping among the woods. After 1865, the Blue Man disappeared, but in 1874, he was seen by a score of men. He was, quote, systematically tracked by men skilled in trailing wild animals, but all the efforts to capture him were in vain, end quote. And over the next 16 years, it made several excursions back to its original stomping grounds, and each time he was seen there, they tried to capture him, and each time they failed. Although, they did reportedly find his den in 1911, and after that, the creature was not seen again until 1915. 6 weeks before this article came out, a farmer noticed that two of his lambs didn't return with the rest of the flock. And after searching the hills, he eventually found their bloody pelts in a hollow in a remote part of the woods. The next day, he saw the Blue Man running down a hog, and several other people in the area reported seeing him as well. They reported that he was less robust than he was, and his blue-black hair had now gone iron gray. His limbs were not as well muscled. In short, the Blue Man was getting old. Why was he called the Blue Man? I did this last part of the article to say he had blue-black hair, but they think it mainly he was called the Blue Man because he was spotted by Blue Sol Collins originally. So, yeah, I mean, definitely sounds like a Bigfoot to me, running amok in the Ozarks. Terrorizing the Ozarks. We always say terrorizing when usually they're just existing. In this case, I mean, he did kill some livestock, which was their livelihood, kept them fed, and he, you know, chucked boulders at a guy, nearly lipped aside, so maybe, you know, if he wouldn't have been so quick-footed, it would have smushed him, but Then again, they're pretty accurate, so maybe he was throwing it off the side, try to scare him. I don't know, but it seems like it was only one reported in the area, and it kept coming back. And I like how in the last sightings he was, you know, he's getting elderly, getting old. So probably not a population living there, maybe just a rogue, a roamer, if you will, migrating through. And, you know, of course, 1950 newspaper articles were not always known for their accuracy and integrity in reporting, but this didn't really seem a whole lot of yellow journalism, this one. It didn't seem terribly far-fetched. So, yeah, man, the Blue Man of the Ozarks. I think it's a pretty cool story. And thanks for checking it out. This story, I sourced it all from the original newspaper article printed in the Washington Times on July 9th, 1915. But I found it in a cool book called Monsters in Print, and it's by Adam Benedict. All these articles are researched and compiled by him in this book, and it's just old-timey newspaper articles about, in this case, monsters. You know, it goes decade by decade. Really cool. No additional commentary by Adam Benedict. It's like, hey, here's a story as it was printed. Believe it or don't believe it. It's a fantastic book. There's companion books to it, Ghosts in Print, Oddities in Print. And yeah, Adam Benedict doing good work, searching these out and putting them out there for us. And yeah, get a chance to check it out, pick it up. And yeah, I'll close this week by saying, here's to you, Blue Man. Long may your legend roam the hills and hollers of the Ozarks. Here's to you, old boy. Keep it weird out there.